Was a great tragedy from one perspective. In the Bhagavad Purana, one of the greatest of all the thinkers of all time, Bhishma, he explained how and why things happen in this world. Even the greatest acharyas, munis, philosophers can never really understand or explain. Tragedies happen to ordinary people. Tragedies happen to even the greatest saints. It is a world where whoever we are, however much education, however much wealth, whatever age, or even whatever spiritual realizations But the Atman, the living force, the soul, is eternal. Nahanyate Hanyamane Sayyida. It is never born, and it can never die. It is that living force that is the true person that loves and that is loved. Reality is eternity. And whether we live 20 years or 120 years, our life is only a flash in eternity of time. But what is our values? How we have connected ourselves to that all-attractive, all-loving God, and how we have helped others to do the same. How we have made a difference in people's lives. That is success. That is true value. And each of these three personalities, Nitai, Yadapati, Tim, they gave their hearts. They gave their lives to service without selfishness. Service to those they love. Service to the world. And ultimately service to Krishna. By watering the root of the tree, all of these branches and twigs I nourish. By genuinely offering our love to Krishna, we learn to actually be genuine instruments of compassion to every living being. These three young men dedicated their lives for that purpose. To be instruments of compassion to all beings. Through their chanting, through their interactions, through their kindness. Still, the body is a sacred medium in which we can have a special relationship with these special eternal souls. And therefore, the body is something very, very sacred to us. When that medium is taken away, it is a tragedy. Crying under the misconception that the person is dead and gone. That is tears of illusion. But crying with the pains of separation in the heart for this beloved immortal soul, because we and the world no longer has that opportunity to connect with them through that body. Those are tears which are offerings of love and gratitude to the soul of our beloved ones, our departed ones, and tears of love and gratitude to Krishna for giving us the opportunity to have lived with them and to continue to live with them. On another level. I just came from India, where 8 of our devotees were taken away in an airplane crash just a couple weeks ago. Their families, their friends, does this happen? That's the natural question to such good people. Our great solace is in an eternal truth. In Krishna, God is Bhaktivatsala. It is perhaps the Lord's prominent nature. And that is, he is always intimately loving and looking out for the eternal souls of his devotees. Wherever a great person, and however a great person departs from this world, we know that Krishna is there to lift them up, to embrace them. That place is a holy place. Whether it's in an airplane in the mountains, whether it's in a highway in Florida, or whether it's on the bank of a holy river in a holy place with thousands of people gathered around singing, Krishna is always there for his devotees. And that brings joy even in the depths of our sorrow. Each of these three devotees made such a powerful effect and difference in people's lives, because through chanting Krishna's names and serving Krishna, they access Krishna in such a special way. They live to be instruments of that grace. And that is wonderful. Not only is it wonderful, it is exceptionally rare. We could all be so proud of them. And we are. Tim, everybody, I didn't know so well, but I did know them. They were just so special, so sweet, so sincere, so genuine in whatever they do. Nitai, as they say in India, I knew him too much. Explained when he looked out like with his little skirt. And nobody knew what to think of him. But his uncle Nityodhi Tapu said, "Well, you talk to him." Nobody could figure out him. If you've been at the Rainbow Gathering for so many years, so, you know, maybe you can understand. And we sat together. I saw him meet him. He was wild, he was confused. But that wildness and confusion was such a special quality, because he was a person that was just looking for something so deep and meaningful in life. He was seeking the essence. And he just couldn't be satisfied with anything else. And he was rebelling against anything that was impeding him from finding the essence. And since he found the essence, that means he was rebelling everything. But it wasn't in a violent way. It wasn't in a malicious way. It was in a very gracious, philosophical way, in one sense. And we became like a father and son first meeting. Really have faith in him. I have faith in the dignity of his intentions. And then
what are we going to do with this person? He was wild. But his wildness was his creativity. He wanted to do something wonderful. He was not content in just carrying on what was already happening. He wanted to expand it. He wanted it to be something powerful and wonderful. He just dove deeply into what he did. And he created a lot of waves. And traditional Hare Krishna kind of temple, you settle down, you do your service, you do what you're told. That just didn't match Nita. He would do it. He would do what he was told for a few minutes. And it's not that he would go against what he was told, he would just want to do everything else. And I was always getting complaints against him. And I can tell you honestly, every time anyone complained against Nita, and they would tell me exactly what he was doing, and how unbearable it was, how unorthodox it was, and how bona fide it was, I always felt so proud of him. I was like, wonderful. We need someone like that. Because he just wanted good for everyone. He had no envy, he had no maliciousness, he just loved everyone. And some years went by, and every time I'd meet him, you know, no matter how busy I was, without exception, we would sit for hours at a time, and he would give me a report of everything he was doing. And he did so many varieties of things. He was all over the world. He was meeting children, he was meeting saints, he was meeting every kind of person. And he wanted to get initiated. But there was a problem, because you know, you can't initiate someone unless they have a recommendation from temple authority. And there was no temple authority in the world. They would dare to put themselves on the line to give him a recommendation. But he was so loving and so sweet and so sincere. Finally, I went to Nityodita Prabhu and I said, Nityodita Prabhu, nobody else is going to give him a recommendation. You, as his uncle, just give him a recommendation. And that's all I need. You see, Nityananda is an avaduta. That means he was a person who was an avatar of the Lord, who was very unconventional in how he expanded, in how he extended mercy upon others. And I really felt that this is Nitai Das. He's a servant of Nityananda. And he would go to the most difficult places. And he would bring me in. A couple of years ago, this book I wrote, The Journey Home, we were going to have a 4-month book launch at Mandala Publishings, and they set up different programs at various, you know, universities. Apple Corporation, Intel Corporation, and Oracle Corporation, and meeting all these very, very big people and different big events. And the first event of the whole book launch, Nitai set up. The first one. And you know, the publisher said the first one should really be the biggest and the best. So this was a fundraiser for the Burning Man. I was just going along with it. Is any of the people here for that event? It was in some sort of a bar. And I haven't been in a bar my whole life. Because, you know, when I was young, when you're a teenager growing up in America, you want to become 21 so you can go in a bar. But then I went to India as 19, and I became a devotee, so I never was in a bar. So we go in, and there's a bouncer. So I'm like this, and he's looking like, what are you doing here? And Vita says, he's giving a lecture here. So there's this. And the music you were playing was very sweet music, but this music was quite ghastly kind of music. Dim red lights, and people were, what could I say, they were all extremely intoxicated. And we go into this basement, and there's cigarette smoke, and there's people, and somebody introduces me and Vitae sets up the microphone, and I sit down to give the talk, and there's like about five or six drunken people laying down in front. And there were some other people kind of in chairs in the background. That was the inauguration. I'm sorry. But you know something? There was one person, one young lady there, and afterwards she was asking questions, and she started coming to all the different events we had afterward. She started chanting. Out of touch with her, but she became a devotee. And I realized that Vitae, Krishna's with him in a very, very different kind of way. But what was his enthusiasm? That burning man, as it was said, hot desert. Him alone, he was so enthusiastic. He was bringing people twice his age, older than his mother and father, Prabhupada's disciples. He was very important people, senior people. He was convincing them to come to this desert, to chant, to serve. He was convincing artists to come. Of the Guru Kuli generation, our young generation, it was so many of them. He got Gaurabhani to come. Vasacharya Prabhu came to kind of. He had such a magnetic enthusiasm because he believed so deeply what he was doing. And was never selfish. He would take something and absorb himself totally. He was really a leader. Very much like Srila Prabhupada and Malati Devi and Shamsundra when they first started this Hare Krishna movement. Somehow or other to reach people's hearts and give them that essence. To be honest with you, I just loved to be with him anywhere. Well, whether it was a cellar of a bar, or riding in a van, or in Vrindavan, India, or at New Vrindavan, I just loved
inspire him, protect him, engage him. And the prayers that I offered to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Dharma Madhava, and Mother Gaudama, the prayers and the tears that I offered at that moment of putting these ashes into the current. I cannot express them in words. Feelings of the pain of separation, feeling of the joy of what a beautiful life. To beautiful people, the tears that we cry in separation is actually a way of celebrating. And that's what we have come here for today. To celebrate wonderful, successful lives of people who attracted so much love and so many blessings from so many great souls. And we're willing to share those blessings with the world. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Narupati. Thank you, Nitai, for sharing your beautiful lives with all of us. Thank you, Prabhupada and Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Gaura Mahaprabhu has a few announcements, but I'd like to, for the family members, we'll be serving lunch now. Talk about this weekend's events.